convey to you the wonderful truths that are herein found in chapter 7, the first six verses, a new section that is starting here in Ecclesiastes 1-6, talked about certain things, the vanity of this world, man's working and his covetousness, how it destroys everything. And then now it's going to get into a little more detail about this vain world in which we live. And we are to take this seriously. Of course, we profit from things like this, dear people. We profit greatly from believing this word. This is the wisdom of God informing us through Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. Let us hear now from the word in chapter 7, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1-6. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. May the Lord add wisdom and understanding to the reading of his most holy word, even through the preaching, Lord. We pray that you would instruct us wisely, and that we would learn well the things of our God as here spoken. For we praise and thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. In your name we pray. Amen. As I said, this is a word everyone should hear in the church. This kind of advice from time to time. I don't always preach this way. You know, styles are different. Sermons that are formed from certain passages come out differently than others. This is more instruction, and it's instruction in wisdom. As I said, we do not think that this the writer is anyone but Solomon, the wisest man. He's not some existentialist philosopher or someone who is with tongue in cheek saying these things as if, oh, the whole world's vain, the whole world has problems, ha ha ha, I'm just kidding. It's not that kind of thing. This is to be taken seriously, and when you look at it and you begin to unpack this just a little bit, it really is a gift to keep. It's a gift to keep these words. Also, This really, when you study it and read what others have said about it, like Matthew Henry and others there, Calvin, this is instruction for young people. I wish more young people were here. They're to hear this, not what, you know, listen to their phone or their iPad or whatever they in the world they're listening to now. But listening to this, listen to the friends or something like that, they don't have wisdom like this. Listen to this, just this first verse. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Can you imagine? Just think about that for a second. You mean to tell me that God is telling us, through Solomon, through the Spirit now, that the day of death is better than my birthday? That's exactly what's being said here. That's exactly what's said. And not only that, that is what is meant. The day of one's death is better than his birthday. Now, of course, that applies to us as Christians. Whether you want to say that about all unbelievers who are going to hell, well, that may not be the case. They wouldn't feel that way. But in terms of believers, the day of one's death is better than his birthday. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about a good name I want to talk about a good house. I want to talk about a good heart. And I want to talk about a good song. Those four things from these six verses. A good name, a good heart, or house, a good heart, and a good song. Those four points. First, a good name. Let's go back a little bit and talk about a good name. Wow. What is a good name? Well, obviously, it's not the name given to you at birth. Right? It's not your birth name. A good name like Peter or John or James or Mary or Sue or something like that. Good names. Fine names, and they have fine meanings when you look them up. But that's not what's being spoken of. Obviously, that's not what's being spoken of. A good name refers to a good reputation. A person's reputation. And how does one get a good name or a good reputation? It's by the things that he says and he does during the course of his life. In other words, a good name is a serious matter, right? It's not a laughing matter. It's not a joke. It's something that is measured by a life of integrity and consistency, which is something we can't say about many of our politicians these days, right? They don't have a good name for a variety of different reasons. And we hear the world even. This is the godless. These are the talking heads, the representatives of this earth, the most powerful nation on earth, saying this about their own candidates, or vice versa, saying about the other guy or gal, that these people do not have a good reputation. A good name is better than precious ointment. Now, you might say that precious ointment, we might think of precious ointment as being of medicinal value, of medicinal use, a salve or a lotion of some sort that that helps us if we have an infection or a ringworm or something like that. But that's not what's being spoken of here. The precious ointment that is a reference to the perfumes, the oils, the fragrances that a bride would deck herself with, or very expensive. The Lord was anointed with precious ointment before he went to the cross. It's very heady. It's very profound. It fills up the whole room, you know, the whole atmosphere. It's a precious, a good name, a good reputation, a man or a woman of integrity and honesty and character and all that is much more precious than even precious and wonderful and delightful ointment. Why so? Because precious ointment dissipates. It doesn't last. The better the perfume I hear, the longer it lasts. But the best in the world only lasts so long. And then they pass. And it's delightful. It's wonderful. It is precious. But it's temporary. It's fleeting. And that's what's come up here before us in the first verse. It's very rich with so much meaning. That's only the first half of the verse, right? The day of one's death better than the day of one's birth. Because likewise, a birthday is a passing thing, right? It's something that brings joy for a moment. And then it passes. And then we go on, and then the next birthday, and then we go on, and then the next birthday. But it's not something that is long-lasting, whereas death is something permanent. It's something completely, for whomever you may speak with, is completely serious. It's a serious, it's a profound, it's a very important moment. It's not a moment, because it's not about a moment, it's about forever. And so it is a permanent thing. And like a perfume, a precious perfume, the birthday passes by with a joy, with a celebration. We're not against that. The writer of Proverbs, Solomon here, is not against that, the celebration of birthday or the feast of marriage, a feast, a wedding ceremony. Those are wonderful, wonderful things, but they're passing. But death does not. It's permanent. It's the end and the beginning for us of something wonderful. And so it's a much more serious matter. And that's why the wise writer says a good name is better than precious ointment, because it's long-lasting. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. It's long-lasting. It's forever. It has some eternal worth or value to it. And so that is what he's saying. Now, you might not get all that. When I first read it, I didn't get all that. I had to read up on it and read comments and all that stuff, and you study it. And then it begins to open up. It can only mean what I'm telling you it means. It cannot mean the joke of interpretation that some people have towards this word. It means what it says. You just have to think about it. It has to linger with you a bit and perform its wonderful work in your mind and in your heart. But that is what Solomon is saying. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning, and this is now talking about a good house, to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. The fool wants to feast, 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 and laugh, 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 and carry on and carry on. But the person of more serious character, one who is contemplating his life, and see, that's what this is meant to do. It's meant to help us to contemplate about our life, to consider spiritual things more important than the things, the fun and games. It's, again, he's not against the house of feasting. He's not talking about riotous living, like the prodigal son who goes off and waste his fortune or his inheritance on riotous living. He's not talking about that. He's talking about feasting like at a wedding or at some festival or some main event. The family gets together for the holiday. We just did that with Memorial Day, right? Where the people get together and they have cookouts and they have things and they eat a lot. And they feast. There's nothing wrong with that. But what is wrong is that you think that that's what life is about, that those things, that those moments are the more important things about my life, about life, than mourning, than taking things very seriously. See, what mourning brings, and we're not talking about the mourning time, we're talking about, mourning over a loss. It causes you to reflect upon your own life and the shortness thereof. It causes us to contemplate more seriously what it's all about, the vanity that is under the sun in this world. We're born, all born to die. There's not going to be ever some cure for death. The only cure for death is Jesus Christ, right? And so, he wants us, Solomon, God, wants us to reflect on this thing. Mourning is better. It is better than feasting. Not that feasting is bad or wrong, but again, it's something that is not long lasting. It's not something that we should take as the meaning of life, to feast, to get fat and enjoy excess, even drinking, although he's not talking about excess. He's just talking about having a good time and delighting to be with family and friend around the table. And that's what we like to do. As I know this at this church, we love to get together and have dinners and planned events around food. Christians love that in general. I think Christians like that. So it's not a bad thing, but mourning brings us to a much more serious matter. We begin to contemplate life's meaning And for the for everybody is going to, he says, for that is the end of all men. Everyone's going to come to an end, and the living will lay it to heart. And so what he's getting at here, he introduces in the last word of verse 2, the heart. For out of the heart come the issues of life. And that's where what we're talking about, and that's where he's coming to and getting to. He wants us to address our hearts. He wants to see where our hearts are at. And he says in verse 3, sorrow, therefore, is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. See? Sadness. When we take things seriously, we contemplate what's going on. Laughter is something that really doesn't sink deep into us. You know, sometimes we call it a hearty laughter. Someone's almost laughing from his soul. But usually laughter is just something that is on the surface. It's a joyous moment. It's a glad tiding, a glad time. But it's not something that really gets us deep within ourselves to realize that this whole life is coming to an end. What then? There's something at the end of life, and it ain't fun. It isn't funny. It's not lightweight. It's not a laughing matter. It's death. And so Solomon here is turning us towards wisdom. He's saying if you want to be a wise man or a wise woman, you want to have a better understanding of yourself and all of life, sorrow, grief, seriousness, sobriety, somberness is better than laughter. Laughter is going to get you onto the surface of things. And it's good for us to laugh and to joke a little. That's fine, but life is no joking matter. In fact, someone was just talking about it a moment ago, about someone who works hard for much of his life and then gets the news that he's being laid off. Is that a laughing matter? Life today is full of these things. People are losing their jobs all the time, left and right. Companies are moving out, and people are just at home, at a loss. It's no laughing matter. They take seriously these things, and it causes them to take an inventory, entire inventory of their life. And what am I going to do now, Lord? Even Christians. And it's better, it makes us wiser, even though it's not a better feeling than laughter for sure. But it makes us wiser. It causes us to reflect on what really matters most in life. And that's why Solomon says sorrow is better than laughter. For by sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. You're communicating with the inner man. You're really getting to the bottom of things, what you're all about. And some people discover that, hey, I don't have much faith. My whole life was centered around money or my job or whatever. And I need to get right with the Lord. And sometimes the Lord does that to stop us in our tracks and make us reflect. I will take care of you, Peter. You might lose your job, you might lose everything, but I will take care of you. Your focus has to be on me first, not anything else. And sometimes the Lord really grips our attention, doesn't he? By bringing serious matters into our lives or into the lives of our family or friends. Certainly a good thing to feel sorrow and to sympathize and to empathize with those who are suffering. Especially our brothers and sisters. For the heart in verse 4, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, and the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. What's that about? Again, we're not talking about a person who's enjoying himself, who's having a good time. He's out with his friends. He's not carousing or anything like that, but he's just having a good time at dinner, maybe a glass of wine or two or something like that, not too much more than that. And then, it's just a joyful time. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a foolish person who does things like that. But a fool is somebody that lives in the house of mirth. It's the kind of person that lives for the moment. He lives for pleasure, pleasure principle. He lives to have a good time. It's something like this, where we are shaped by the events of our lives. It shapes our character. It forms us and molds us. And it makes us the man or the woman that we are. Well, if you stay in the house of mirth, laughter and partying and having a good time, and that's the definition of life for you. That's the joy of life, the lust of the flesh there, to satisfy it in some way. Well, then that shapes you. That shapes you into the character, into the person that you are. Whereas if you are in the house of mourning, that's not foolish. That's someone that's taken seriously the things of his own life and also the life and the time of others. And this the heart is made much wiser when we are found in the house of mourning than in the house of mirth. If that's our life's principle, to have a good time. And again, not to be a drunkard or a drug addict or something like that. It's not having a good time. Those people aren't having a good time. They're ill. But that's the sum and substance of your life, to go and go on vacation all the time, be on a perpetual vacation, visit all the hot spots and all that stuff, just to, to eat the best foods and to drink the finest wines and all that stuff. If that's where your heart is, that's where you spend your time, your doing, it molds you into a certain type of person. And I will say, a superficial one at best. But the house of mourning informs the heart. And that heart becomes wiser as a result of it. And you get serious with someone else, with yourself, about life and the end of life, which comes to everyone, the end of life, and where you're going to be found at the end, at life's end, it causes you to pause. Obviously, there's more to life, according to the wisdom of Solomon. There's much more to life than having a good time, than making even ends meet. There's something about life that everyone ends up in death. Everyone, it comes upon everyone. So there's something else that the wise writer would have us do, and that is to take seriously God, to consider him in your life now, before it's too late, before you come to your end and you find your life has been emptied of everything. And there's a hint at the eternal life that is only found in Jesus Christ here. It's focusing our attention more on that, being sober, even somber at times. That's going to give you a wise heart. Because you're taking things seriously. You're taking your end seriously. And that's going to be wisdom. Partying, celebrations, they're not going to bring wisdom. Maybe a good time, friendly time, they do not bring wisdom.
You got to sit down, you got to philosophize, you got to theologize, you got to think, you got to read, you got to do. The other stuff is not, you'll never be a wise man or a wise woman. You see how this is for the young. It's when they're starting out. It's for the young when they're starting out. Take this seriously. That's going to make you wise in your old age. That's going to give you a good reputation. That takes time to build a good reputation. But these things are much more valuable than precious ointment and the house of mirth and the laughter and palling around and funning around. Again, okay, but that's not going to get your heart right with God. It is better to hear the rebuke. Hence, it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Absolutely, the song of fools. You know, that will go a long way to defining what is going on in the world today, in the electronic media, a place on Facebook and Twitter and on Instagram and the music that you hear on the television. They have the videos now that go along with the music, the concerts and all this stuff. A lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it can be labeled the song of fools. A waste of time, not necessarily of talent. These people have a lot of talent and a lot of ability, but it's just foolish stuff that they're spewing forth, that they're talking about endlessly, that they're singing about, that they're ranting and raving about. I think it goes to describing what this world, at least Western society and advanced society, is getting like. The song, the chatter, the laughter of fools. He goes on to say here that it's better to hear rebuke. It's better for someone to come up to you seriously and say, Peter, do you realize that you're acting foolishly? Do you realize that you're wasting your life in this endeavor or that? Much more valuable is a friend that tells you the truth than someone that pats you on the back and says, let's go have a good time. Let's laugh. Let's be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. Because if there is no life after death, if there is no Jesus Christ who died for our sins and rose again on the third day and ascended before the eyes and ears of his apostles, where they heard that, do you see this Jesus rise up to heaven, to ascend up to heaven? He will return in the same way you see him now, the angel said. If none of that is true, then yes, eat, drink, and be merry, and get by in life the best way you can, the most merry way you can. As the existentialists say, for tomorrow you die. It's over. Go out, as Camus says, go out with a blast. Go out and make a name for yourself. Yeah, why not be a terrorist? Just make a big name for yourself. Because nothing else matters. After this, it's over. But if there is a life after death, if there is a Jesus Christ who came, who died, who rose again and ascended into heaven and is coming back, then that's serious business. And it's much better to hear about that and to hear his rebuke, his correction. Sinner, change your focus. Change the error of your ways. Come, follow me. Live righteously. I can, and only I, can make you whole. No one else can do what I can do because I reach into your soul. I take your soul and I refresh it.
I take your mind and I enliven it. And I do bring healing to your body as well, your psychology, your mentality, and even to your physical body. I, God, do all these things and not another. But if you choose rather to hear the song of fools and to while away your time in idle chatter on Facebook, and I'm not totally against Facebook, you know that. It's a good tool. Just like cell phones. Good tools, but people that are married to them and literally become very upset and obsessed with them, that's not good. But if you choose to do that stuff, listening to the song of fools, then you're here compared to, in verse 6, the crackling of thorns under a pot. So is the laughter of the fool. And this is vanity. Did you ever have throw in the fire thorns? Little sticks. What happens, especially with the thorns, that works the best. They crackle. They make loud noises, you know. You can almost talk that way about the foolish laughter and carrying on that the unbelievers do in their daily course of their lives as they party on. They laugh. They make loud noises. They crackle like thorns. Well, the thorn that's thrown in the fire, it's useless. Because as soon as it gets in the fire, it flares up, it flames up, it makes that loud noise, it makes that, and then it dies down just as quickly. So it is useless, it is worthless in terms of heating the pot up to a boil, to cook something. They are useless. And that is what the fool's laughter is like. That is what his amusements are going to amount to for him. Like thorns crackling in the fire, a useless thing that doesn't produce anything of worth. But rather, the person who is a wise man who has taken his end seriously, who has laid it upon his heart, who has contemplated his spiritual character in this world before men and also before God and his walk before God, that person is going to sing the songs of Zion, the praises of Zion. He's going to want and to desire to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with joy and thanksgiving in his heart and because it comes from his soul. This is the kind of song that we are to focus on, the house of song, of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the house of worship, the house of God. And as I said, dear people, this is for young people. And the starting out on life's path, the young married people that we just rejoiced in the marriage of two people yesterday. And as they start out in their path of life, this is the kind of advice they should be given. This is the kind of thing they should be contemplating in their marriage as they enjoy one another. But let them go deeper than that and let them go into the house of mourning. Let them contemplate where their spiritual life is, their heart is before their God. Let them seek wisdom, the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom, all the wisdom that is in Jesus Christ. Let them go to the house of song, to the worship of God, where these things are contemplated and brought up and brought out, and our souls are enriched some more. Advice for young people starting out in life. Even Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, which says, remember now, today, at this time, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Before it's too late, think on Him. Think on Him and His ways. Take him seriously, and he will lift you up to a joy beyond description. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we are delighted to be in your house. We are delighted to talk about your word. It's so rich. It's so true. I wish, Lord, you know I do. I pray that I can do better than I do. I often do. I certainly cannot do as well as I want to do. I desire to do so well because it's your word, because it's your truth, because it's your magnificence that I'm talking about and that we're listening to. And who can do justice to it? But it is a wonderful, wonderful thing if we just, if we at least get at the tip of it there, an understanding that that comes from your word, and we talk about it some more, we rehearse it some more, and we get better at it, better at learning it. And so that is the focus. That is the joy of our life. To have a good name. To have a good house, to have a good heart, to have a wise song, a good song. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's, in closing, sing.